Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough. Hey, hey, hey,
hey, hey. Welcome to Sadcast, a podcast featuring stories, art, and design from No Fun City. I'm your host, Becca Clarkson, and I would like to know, what's gladding your sad these days? Or what's turning your sads into glads? Okay, I'm still working out the wording, but in an effort to make this podcast more of an interactive experience and to get to know you folks more, I'd like to start off each episode with local remedies for melancholy. Cures for life's manures, if you will. So if you've got something to share, please feel free to send us a message on Instagram for a chance to be featured. In the meantime, I'll kick things off with some happy feels, pun intended, about SAD's new texture issue. It's hot off the press, and it's in my hands, and it's gorgeous. This is the 36th magazine SAD has produced since its inception 15 years ago. I absolutely love the aesthetic, and I really love the vulnerability that went into these stories. They explore everything from puberty and skin mishaps to rock climbing and wrestling. We'll be launching this issue on Saturday, May 11th at F as in Frank in Gastown. There will be music by DJ Noriyuki Namasaki, deals on vintage clothing, and beers from Sidekick Brewing. We obviously have some surprises up our sleeves as well, so don't snooze. Grab a $15 ticket or two at sadmag.ca. I'm so excited to share this issue with you all. And if you know, you know, SAD throws a mean party. This year, we've really been ramping up in the events department in an effort to stay connected to the community outside of our biannual magazine launches. So far this year, we've introduced monthly collage nights, which happen on the fourth Thursday of every month at Slice of Life. Slice is also the location of our 15th anniversary reading and gallery show, which we held back in March. We even put on a comedy show, on Super Bowl Sunday no less, at Bells and Whistles on Fraser. It wasn't SAD's first foray into funny business. Former and longtime volunteer Jackie Hoffer launched SAD Comedy back in 2016, so it felt very fitting that they ended up being a part of our show this year. If you missed it, well, you're in luck. Host Paul Hickey recorded it for this very podcast. So here it is, SAD Comedy, Sports Edition.
We have a great show tonight, folks. So we're going to get that going very, very soon. What else? I will say, I'm not trying to brag, I'm having a good week. I'm doing pretty well right now. And I will just mention that before I get out of here. Yeah, thank you. I feel great. I'm doing all right. I have an infinity toilet in my home. Yeah, so it's kind of trickles over the edge all day. It's broken. Looks fucking tight though. That's good. And I had something else happen this week that I'm so stoked about. Taylor Swift's lyrics finally clicked for me. Yeah. I feel great about that. I always liked her, but I wasn't a huge fan. Not a fan, but just kind of neutral. And then this week, I just kind of, it all fell into place, and I really get her message now, I think. I'm kind of starting to see the world more, I think, through Taylor's eyes, if I'm being honest. So I love that. And I think when that happens, you need to spread the good word and help other people realize Taylor's magic. For example, the other day I was chatting with some buddies, and one of them goes, Neil's got to get his shit together, man. He's been on like 9 first dates since Jill, but he never follows through because he's still hung up. And I was like, well, how would you feel if your heart was a lily paper moonrise? Right? You get without going away, amazing. But I am doing fine. I'll tell you something. I will say this, though. I am done dating models. Okay? I am done. I'm over it. Yeah, don't get me wrong either. Like, it was fun for a while, but in the end, it's just a big hassle dating models, okay? And I have dated them all. Foot models. I mean, you name it. Okay? Folks, who's ready to start some comedy? Let's get this going. Your first comic is so funny. I've seen her a few times. She went on one time when I was really new and I was nervous. I wanted the person before me to do bad so I didn't have something to... And she killed the room, just destroyed everyone falling on their seats. She's so funny. I love watching her. She's an up-and-coming comic from Vancouver. She's been on JFL. She's been on the second season of YBR Funny. Check out her podcast called Soft for Us. Please give a huge bells and whistles. Welcome to Nikki Marner.
Oh my God, that's me. I'm wearing the same pants. That's embarrassing. Makes it seem like I don't have any other pants. I've never performed under a massive photo of myself, so I'm adjusting. Okay, cool. I know I was brought on stage as Nikki Mordar, but that's not my real name. Do you guys want to know my real name? No. Cool. Don't worry, guy who said no, I heard you. Yeah, my real name is Nikki Mordar Raimarami. Yeah, all together now. There's always one white girl who tries. And I appreciate it. No, yeah. It's an Iranian name, and it does have a really beautiful meaning. It actually directly translates to flight risk. So, yeah. And I think that's beautiful. I do. Yeah, I'm like really proud to be Iranian, right? I think Iranian women are very strong. I think we've like been through some shit, you know? And I think there's some stuff we can do that like not even North American or European men can do, right? Like for example, I can grow a real mustache, so. Movember was a good month for me, you guys. Raised a lot of money. I did. Yeah. What else is there about me? I'm also bisexual. There's probably at least. I felt it in the air. I walked in and I was like, smells gay in here. Yeah. Yeah, I am bisexual, but like I kind of suck at being bisexual, you know? I could be doing a better job. I could be dating women right now, but instead I've just treated my pussy like a golf tournament. Just like mostly white guys. Yeah. I'll be sleeping with a guy, he'll be on top of me, I'll just look up and I'll be like, four! That was my one sports joke. I did it. Can you tell I don't play sports? Yeah, I'm trying to also, there's a lot of assumptions people make about you, right? When you're like gay and an immigrant, right? And not a lot of them are true, except for one thing, I have done a lot of drugs, yeah. It's mush up there at this point. But I'm reaching the age now where my friends aren't really doing drugs, right? Which is fucking lame. Yeah, because it's like, what, you don't want to do a line with me because it's bad for the baby? Fuck off. That's literally why it's called a baby bump, like. I actually I don't do cocaine anymore because I get sad, which is so lame. I just like deal with a lot of mental health issues and stuff, you know? I know it's boring, but like I do. And I'm trying to like combat that by saying yes to every time like someone asks me to hang out, you know? And like the other day, my friend asked me to hang out. He was like, do you want to go skydiving with me? And I was like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And I was really proud of myself that I said no. Like I was so proud of myself that I canceled therapy that day. Yeah, because like if I'm scared of going skydiving, just how suicidal can I really be? Like, I'm sitting in therapy like, I want to kill myself. No, you don't, bitch. Fucking get on that plane then. Risk it all, you know? Like, I'm suicidal in the way that McDonald's is food. Like, sure, some people might classify it as such, but leave it alone for a few days and it'll be fine. Like, being suicidal but being scared of skydiving is like being a firefighter and being scared of fire. It's like wanting to work at Starbucks but being scared of white women, you know? It's like wanting to have sex but wearing a fedora. It's just like, you're getting in your own way, you know? I do, I'm trying to date better though. I'm trying to have like a better dating, cause I've dated some real winners, you know? I dated this one guy, and not exclusively or anything, and one night he turns to me and he just goes, dating a bunch of women is like eating Thanksgiving dinner. Which is like a gross thing to say. It's such a red flag, right? But also, red is the color of love. So I was like, okay, Shakespeare, explain this sick and twisted metaphor to me. And he did. He was like, yeah, like you've got your like turkey, right? That's your main meat. That's your number one girl, right? Yeah. And then you've got your side dishes. You look so appalled. It gets worse. And I bravely asked this man what I was on his Thanksgiving plate. And you guys, without hesitation, he just goes, mashed potatoes. Yeah. Which, like, it's not that bad, but also it's, like, lumpy and starchy, and I identify more as a yeasty girl, so... But I did ask him, I was like, why mashed potatoes? And he was like, because you're my favorite side. Yeah, it's pathetic. But I was also just insecure enough at the time that I was like, thank you so much, yeah. He asked me, he was like, what am I on your Thanksgiving plate? And I was just honest with him. I was like, you're the turkey. He was like, oh, like, I'm your main meat. I'm your number one guy. And I was like, more so in the sense that every time I take a bite, I'm like, I should stop eating meat. And also, cause like every time he would come, he'd be like, oh. So thank you so much, you guys.
One more time for Nikki Martyr. I'm gonna bring up your next comedian right away. This guy is a Taiwanese-Canadian stand-up comedian and improviser. I haven't seen him yet, but I'm excited. His energy is amazing. He loves underdogs. He's all right with real dogs, and he dislikes hot dogs. Give it up for Ante Chu, everyone.
When they said write a bio, I did not know that we were gonna read it word for word. But it's nice to be here. I actually just moved back from England, which is nice. Why did I move to England? It's because in 2018, I did a show in Kitsilano and a white woman told me after the show, you have very good English. And I was like, I'm gonna go over there and show them what I've done. And when I went over there, it was nice. I'd actually never been to England or Europe before when I got there. And when I got there, I kind of felt like Paddington Bear. Because I was standing in a train station with my hat and my coat and no pants on. And like, it was nice. It turns out, like, I know a lot more about British history than, like, I thought I did. Because every time I went to, like, a museum or I, like, tried to learn about stuff, I'm like, oh, I know that guy. He's a street. That guy, SkyTrain Station, SkyTrain Station. And that guy, he was a statue. But like, Right and clap. You know, it's weird. Like, this is gonna be my tiny bit of sports segue material. Actually, no, it's not. Anyways. See, right now this is going badly, but I can tell you that it's going badly. I can be like, oh, I just wrote that, this is new. But like, if you're a quarterback, you can't do that. Like, imagine if every time Patrick Mahomes incompleted a pass, he'd be like, that was new, we just did that yesterday. That play, we did it right before the show. But like Paul said, my name's Ante, and I'm Taiwanese-Canadian, and my family immigrated here like 20 years ago because China was pointing missiles at our country, and my mom was like, fuck that, we're out. Like, they've got nukes, we've got bubble tea. It's not a fair fight. But like, actually, like, you guys have probably heard about like China and Taiwan in the news recently, and people are like, oh, it's because China's getting stronger. It's like, no, it's because Taiwan's getting too strong. Like, bubble tea is everywhere. Like, if every bubble tea shop counted as Taiwan, we're the biggest fucking country in the world. But it was nice. And I, like I said, like, I moved here with my mom, and I had, like, a weird childhood. I always thought I was, like, I had, like, a single immigrant parent. But turns out, like, my mom was just a weird-ass lady. Because, like, I grew up, like, in Burnaby in, like, the early 2000s without television or internet. So for fun, I listen to baseball on the radio. You guys ever watch baseball? It's boring as fuck. Now try listening to that. But yeah, like, that's like listening to baseball on the radio is how I became a fucking jock, you know? Like, FM stands for fucking manly. I have my mom's eyes and my radio's toxic masculinity. It's nice though. I actually grew up with a bunch of Serbian kids as friends. Hell yeah. So you'll understand the thing I'll say in a bit.
Oh shit.
What? It's after a football game. They probably lost money on a prop bet. But I grew up with a bunch of Serbian kids, and we all got along because like no one could pronounce our names. Like, there was like Tanasia, Vuk, Danilo, Tomislav, Ante, which is me. And Dean? Dean was second generation. So his parents were like, give a different name, all right. But I actually picked up Serbian culture a lot. Like, I learned to swear in Serbian before I learned the words to O Canada. Like, jeben te lebets, that means fuck your bread. Like, you might think that, like, the swear word to know is, like, something like, fuck your mom. No, fucking your bread. Bread is important in Eastern Europe, all right? Fuck your bread is fighting words. But it was nice. Like I picked it up a lot. Like, I basically live the movie 8 Mile. I am Serbian Eminem. But it was nice. I learned a lot from like my friends, especially my friends' older brothers. Like Tanasia's older brother was like, he told us everything. Like his word was gospel. Like when he told us that if you mixed all the Slurpee flavors at 7-Eleven together, you would make alcohol. We're like, we're getting fucked up today after school, boys. One time he brought us in and he was like, guys, you hear about thongs? And we're like, no, we're 9. And he's like, well, adults wear them. And we're like, tell us more. But he didn't, because he didn't know anymore. So we just walked around a 9-year-old gang of Serbian and one Asian kid, being like, yeah, adults drink coffee, pay taxes, and they all wear thongs. We weren't that smart. But like, yeah, we all got along. Like, we like ate things rolled in cabbage, we played soccer, and we denied the existence and sovereignty of Kosovo. Kids, stop. You look really nice. Are you really nice? All right, can you help me out? All right, just repeat after me, all right? Yugoslavia.
Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia.
It's so easy to radicalize people. Like 5 minutes ago, you thought he was a nice looking person. Now we know you're a Balkan supremacist. But I'm actually a school teacher now, so I probably shouldn't be doing that. Just fermenting bring back the 90s. But yeah, I'm a school teacher now, and that's what I was doing in England. I was teaching in England. I'll tell you guys about what life is like teaching here, because teaching in England, that's for my therapist. But yeah, teaching here is very lovely. When I teach, I'm like a sub, but I'm like a long-term sub, so I'll be there for like 2 to 3 weeks sometimes. And I always get kids to like draw on the back of their tests when they're done, right? Just to like keep them calm and like, you know, if you're stuck during the test, draw on the back, right? The best thing to tell them is draw your teacher. They love that shit. Anyways, last day of an assignment, and as I'm like marking the test and the kids are leaving, one girl like stops and turns, she's like, "Mr. Chu, I love you." I was like, that's a lot of paperwork if I answer that. And then I just kept marking, and I eventually got to like a test, and on the back there's a picture. It was very lovely. It was a picture of Vancouver Technical Secondary School, and it was beautifully drawn. But twist, the school was also drawn on fire. So if it burns down, you guys will know who did it. But anyways, it was on fire, but also drawn in this picture were a bunch of like stick figure firemen and like fire trucks and like a safe, orderly evacuation happening in this picture. But on the corner there, there was one stick figure with three lines drawn behind him. And it was labeled, "Mr. Chu, leaving all the kids behind." So, teaching sometimes it doesn't go so great. I think there's one last thing before I go. Most likely all the stand-up comics will tell you about mental illness tonight. Like, you are at something called SAD. But anyways, I was really scared to tell my mom when I found out I had bipolar disorder. And I sat her down finally, I was really nervous, and I was like, "Mom, I gotta tell you something. I have bipolar disorder." And she looked at me and she said, "Auntie, I'm so proud of you." I'm like, "Thanks, Mom." She's like, "I'm so proud of you because all the other comedians, they only have depression." I knew you were special. All right, thank you guys so much.
Keep it going for Auntie Chu, folks. This next comic, they are the host of New Moon Comedy at the Projection Room. They were a judge for the Junos for Comedy Album of the Year. They know what they're talking about, okay? Follow their show at Moonbase Comedy on Instagram and give a warm welcome for Jackie Hoffert!
Hello, everyone. How are you this evening? Thank you, Sad Meg, so much for putting this together. I'll be your Alana Brittany tonight. She was on the lineup. She couldn't make it. I jumped in. My name is Jackie. I use they, them pronouns. My driver's license has an F, but I'd rather it had like an FU. I identify as non-binary, and for me, the way that works is that I was born on International Women's Day, but in the year of the cock. So that's how I got to non-binary. Everyone has their own journey. I am also now going to awkwardly insert sports jokes into my comedy. I used to play softball. I used to play first base, which is my favorite position because all the action comes to you and you don't have to move very much, which is my favorite sexual position also. Thank you. And that concludes my sports material. Thank you. Yeah, sports show, check. Despite my youthful appearance, I am a 42-year-old human. Yeah, I'm definitely in my statement glasses era. I'm like still young enough for karaoke, I think. I'm doing it anyway. I suddenly like really want a red Mazda Miata though, which I can't explain. LOL, like leasing a sports car. last week, my savings account had zero, the other savings account had zero, and then the checking account had $10. I was watching like an episode of Queer Eye where they just helped someone get a bank account who used to be homeless. And they were like, we've helped you go from surviving to thriving. And this is the $10 bank account day. And I look over to my wife and I'm like, are we thriving? No, but instead of switching up my ride, I did actually very recently have top surgery, which is, yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, you can look, yeah. It's hard now being non-binary where you're kind of like, what are the expectations around staring at my chest? Like, the bar has just been lowered. I could whip my shirt off right now and that's like legal, I guess. I got top surgery. I had a couple speed bumps that were really slowing me down, and I removed them. Thank you so much. The way I feel about, or felt, I should say, about my breasts is kind of like, you know when you go to IKEA and you get some furniture, you take it home, you put it together, and there's like, the same thing happens with Lego too, I discovered recently, but sometimes there'll just be like a few extra pieces, and you're like, I'm done though. Why are there extra pieces? You know, like, my Billy has extra bits. But you can just get rid of the extra bits, and you didn't do anything wrong, and that's trans rights. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much. it's funny, though, I mean, thinking about your body, like, shape all of the time is, like, not really healthy, even though we all do it. And I have, like, a whole new body shape now. And I'm like a centaur, I think. Yeah, or like the non-binary pregnant emoji. That's my impression. There is a non-binary pregnant emoji, in case you didn't know. Looks like me. Yeah, actually, reaching back to a baseball metaphor, I've noticed that since my top surgery, I've become what I can only describe as a belly itcher, which if you played baseball or softball as a child, you may know as like a taunt for pitchers. Like, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Yeah. But it's just, there's something, it's not very feminine to itch your belly. But like, there's something kind of, there's space in non-binary for belly itching. And I'm into it. Yeah, I love it. This body, I'm gonna be real, is brought to you by indica and ice cream sandwiches. It's been a long, like, 5 years of sort of coping with what's happening in the world. I wanna say 10. 50, 20 years of coping with the world. And the one thing that I'll say is, so like, not to brag, but my socioeconomic status is that I have a plug-in dishwasher. Like, I have no in-suite laundry, but I do have a dishwasher, but you have to plug it into the sink. And so if you've ever had one of those, you know that like, it becomes a problem when you have the dishwasher on. Like, I can't get into the kitchen easily with the dishwasher on, and so I have to go like up and like scooch along it and then go down. And the other week I realized like my body is probably dishwasher shaped now. Just from like scooching and going over, like I have this belly that like, it's a symbiotic relationship with my dishwasher. And yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. I just feel that, it's just a new world out there, having a having a appliance influenced body shape. Anyway, if anybody knows like what I'm supposed to wear to the beach, can you let me know after the show? Because I didn't really think this through, so I'm not really sure what to wear, but or where to change into it. But yeah, that's, I'm looking forward to summer. All right, I've been Jackie, thank you so much.
One more time for Jackie Hoffert. I have one of those dishwashers, Jackie. I love it. It's mine works pretty well, actually. It started out, it would leak sometimes, and then it wouldn't leak for a while. I never knew, it had like a personality. And so it kind of felt like I had a roommate in certain ways. A very tidy roommate. It's a Danby, so it's like bright white. So we're just two white guys. I'm like the dirty one, he's the clean one. And that's my dishwasher stuff. Without further ado, your next comic has my favorite intro. It even beats the hot dog one somehow. This guy is a big sweaty gay oaf who finds levity in many gross rituals that unite us all. Check out his live album, Burger Queen. It's available on all the streaming platforms. Give a warm welcome for Steve Letts.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. It was really funny to gather at the back table at the start of tonight with all the other comics and lean in like, are you going to talk about sports? Because you want to find a group of people who know nothing of athleticism. It's stand-up comics. That's fucking hilarious. I actually do play in a couple LGBT sports organizations here in Vancouver. I've played for the Vancouver Gay Volleyball Association and the West End Slow Pitch Association. And I highly recommend it. What's the difference between like a gay softball league and a straight softball league? Tighter pants and looser wrists. That's basically the same thing, really. There are a few other key differences, though, between a gay league and a straight league. Gay league, we run a tight fucking schedule, okay? Our shit starts on time. Type A gays know how to run a fucking show, right? If there was a type A gay behind this, we would have started at 8 p.m. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. You can't prevent the Super Bowl. There's nothing. Oh, by the way, I also love how half the room was like, fuck it, we didn't watch the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift's boyfriend won. Hooray, something finally went her way. Anybody? And did you see it kept cutting to her? She wasn't even in the stadium. She was just circling in her jet. Fucking bitch. Can you believe it? Oh. So happy for her. The other big difference is between like gay leagues and straight leagues. So like a gay league, our jerseys are way nicer than yours. Sorry, we fucking are. We just have cuter jerseys always. Also, our parties are so much better than straight league parties, okay? I played in a number of co-ed straight leagues and their fundraisers are like a bake sale or a car wash. Fucking amateur hour, okay? My traveling softball tournament team, our last fundraiser had a drag queen obstacle course, okay? Where you ran from station to station, putting on women's garments, getting screamed at by pro drag queens. It was fucking intense, okay? We also had a ring toss, which sounds tame, but you were tossing cock rings onto a table covered with dildos, for real. I don't know whose they were. They couldn't have all been new. They couldn't have. Also, like, the difference between a gay league and a straight league, it's funny, because, like, the level of play is a little bit lower, but the team spirit is through the fucking roof. Oh, my God. The cheers on... In my gay softball league, if you get a double, the cheer is, sit on my face! He got to second base! Whoa! Top that shit, straight leagues. I love that a lot of like professional sports organizations are trying to be more queer friendly now. Like, did you know the NHL has something called the You Can Play initiative that encourages gay men to play pro hockey? It's a lovely idea. But if you wanted to watch gay people play pro hockey, you could support women's pro hockey. It's right there. It's right fucking there. You know what I mean? Like, I've watched a few women's hockey games, and I don't want to make any assumptions, but I suspect some of those players are not heterosexual, okay?
running the fucking show. The lesbians are running the WNBA. And you're like, we need more homos. No, we've got plenty. Just, you're just not supporting the right ones. Anyways, that's all my sports material. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I have very exciting news. 3 weeks ago, I quit my day job. Thank you. Thank you very much. I should clarify, though, I did not do it to pursue stand-up comedy full-time. I just found an almost identical day job with slightly better pay and benefits. Come on! Yeah! The dream, baby. I don't work my dream job, but that's for a good reason. I don't have dreams about working, and I hope you don't either. It's sad as fuck. Actually, that's not true. I have a reoccurring stress dream about waiting tables. That's the closest I've come to a dream job. Any other server has been through this? Where, like, you have a dream where you're starting out at the start of a shift and everything's fine, and then you look up and your entire section is full, and all of your customers are your childhood friends' parents who hated you? Anyone else? Awful. I don't work my dream job. I do like what I do, though. I work in the nonprofit sector. Does anyone else not make a livable wage? All right, yeah, kick ass. There are a lot of gay men like me who work in the nonprofit sector. I don't know exactly why that is. I guess it is a very bottomy business model. It's a great place to work if you're an aging gay man like me, too, because no matter how old you get, you always feel like a hot young sugar baby because it's your job to take vast sums of money from corporate daddies. That's all you do, right? It's great. I knew when I left my last job I wanted to stay in the nonprofit industry, but I didn't know where else I should apply. My first thought was the SPCA, because I'm a cat dad, I'm an animal lover, so that made perfect sense to me. But one of my friends pointed out that that would actually be a very difficult place to work if you're an animal lover, because you're always surrounded by stories of animal cruelty. And that's something that didn't occur to me, but it's a very good point. In order to be an effective fundraiser, you really need to be steeped in your cause. And as someone who loves animals, it would hurt too much to see them in pain all the time. I need to work at a charity that I can detach from a little easier. Which is why I accepted a job at a children's hospice. No problem. Great. I'm just kidding. I do actually work at one, but I'm kidding about it, like, being... It is emotionally devastating, you guys, seriously. Because every single day I go in and I see these little fuckers get attention for nothing. They're doing nothing. Not one of them can write a joke. And they're... You're like, oh, they're dying. So what? I die on stage all the time. Never once have I been offered a day with John Cena, okay? Bullshit. Actually, I do work at a children's charity and I love it. Also, the SPCA never got back to me, if I'm being honest. Turns out dotting every I on your mesoape with a tiny paw print, not a surefire way to get hired, unfortunately. I'll leave you guys with this. My sister just gave birth to a healthy baby boy. Some very exciting news. Thank you very much. Thank you so much. It's super exciting because she's 41 and this is her first keeper. So very, very exciting news, right? The whole family is so excited. Nobody's more excited than our mother, though, because our mom is 68 and this is her first grandkid. So she's been ready to go. She's chomping at the bit, right? It's amazing the difference in tune that a mother sings when her daughter is 20 versus when her daughter is 40 about pregnancy. Because 20 years ago, when her daughter was 20 and her son was one of those bright-eyed young gays who seemed like they would one day start a family to impress their parents, my mom thought she had lots of time for grandkids, right? So she would harass my sister all the time. She'd say, you better not get knocked up. Ashley, don't come home pregnant. Babies are expensive and I'm not paying for yours, right? Obviously, she had reason to worry. Most Ashleys are slutty. That's a fact. That's white girl name science. That's just how it goes, right? Jessica's crazy, Samantha's a bitch, Ashley puts out. That's just how they work, right? But years went by, no grandbabies. So when my sister turned 30, our mom started to get nervous. So every once in a while at a family gathering, she'd get a little tipsy. She'd be like, you know, if you got pregnant, we'd figure it out. But the years kept rolling, no grandbabies. I did get married, but my husband and I decided that we wouldn't have children, which was actually a very difficult decision for us to come to, because I'm just like any one of you, right? I've always dreamt of giving my mother a grandchild and then keeping it from her. But we didn't know grandbabies. So when my sister turned 39, our mom went into a full-blown panic. She got wasted at Thanksgiving, and I'm quoting her verbatim. I'm not paraphrasing her at all. She goes, enough is enough. I don't want to die with no fucking grandkids. Just get pregnant. I'll take care of it. Millennials, Gen Z, that is how you negotiate free childcare in this economy. Just wait. You guys have been great. I'm Steve Letts. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Keep it going one time for Steve Letts, folks. We got someone coming up. I know Megan. She does so much for the comedy community. She runs a show called Crummy Comedy. She's been on the Edmonton, the Vancouver Fringe Festival. She's all over, everywhere, all the time. She's so fucking funny. Give it up for Megan Milton, everyone.
It is so embarrassing that I'm wearing the same blazer that I'm wearing in my head. Like, you, I am so, as soon as I saw Nikki go up and being like, oh, I'm wearing the same pants, I was like, fuck. Oh, it's so much worse. This is the last time I wore the blazer, and I have not washed it. So, it's the same outfit and also smell as in that photo. Okay, hi, hope you guys are all doing well. Something kind of like about me that sets me a little bit apart, hopefully, is that I had a teenage mother. Anybody have a teenage mom? Good, the education is working. I have a teenage mother. She's Catholic. Like, she's sort of Catholic. She's like not Catholic enough to not get pregnant in high school, but Catholic enough to stay pregnant in high school. Like that's the level we're dealing with. So I grew up like that. I went to daycare in a high school, which is like a pretty weird thing to do. I think that maybe I ruined my mom's life. I don't, like, beat myself up about it, though, because if you had have asked her what she wanted to do with her life, like, 3 seconds before she pissed on the pregnancy test, she would have said police officer. So I like to think I'm a bit of a hero. She's Catholic, right? So she thinks she saved a life by carrying me to term. I would argue she saved dozens of lives by keeping one more cop off the streets. I think a lot of people with, like, teen moms, like, the stereotypical thing to say is, like, it's babies raising babies, and that is true. Like, it is weird having a mom that's, like, not super emotionally developed. I would say, like, from my own personal experience, the worst part is that it's also, like, idiots raising idiots. Like, my mom had no information for me, and I was a very inquisitive young child. And, like, I feel like I was just constantly, like, desperate for information for strangers. May long weekend, 2001, the date is important, remember that. I went with my aunt to Beck Woman's Hippie Emporium. You know Beck Woman's Hippie Emporium, right? Have you been in there? Okay, by round of applause, who's either been to Beck Woman's Hippie Emporium or been yelled at for trying to enter Beck Woman's Hippie Emporium? About half the crowd. Okay, for anybody who doesn't know what this is, it's a store that's existed for like 30 years, no longer in Vancouver. It's been there forever. It used to be on Commercial Drive. In the 90s, they let you inside. Recently, if you go there, Beck Woman will scream at you and ask you to leave. But I went in the 90s, or early 2001. I went with my aunt and I wandered in. And the thing about Beck Woman's, it's like you can buy like hammocks there. You can buy like cultural appropriation and then like political bumper stickers. That's the main categories. And I walked in there and I picked up a bumper sticker that said Free Palestine. And I said, what does that mean? And then Beck Woman just scurried over and ruined my life. I have not been happy since that day. That was the last time I had any ounce of joy in my soul. But then she sat there and explained every single bumper sticker in this table. And I got into my mom's car after the long weekend, confidently sat beside my mother, who graduated not that long ago, and I said, George Bush is a war criminal. Confidently. And she was like, no, he's not. And I was like, no, George Bush is a war criminal. And she's like, no, he's not. And I'm like, he killed innocent people in Iraq. And we're arguing back and forth, and she's like, Megan, he's not a war criminal. He's only been elected for like 5 months, okay? He can't have done any war crimes yet. And we were just screaming at each other on the Portman Bridge because neither of us knew there was more than one George Bush. Whole time, yelling, screaming, fighting. That is what it's like to have. But my mom like doesn't have, like it's weird having a mom that's young too, because like I would say my mom's like pretty progressive, but also again, knows nothing. So when I was like 16, my mom confronted me. Well, she was in the bathtub. She yelled at me and she's like, Megan, come talk to me. She's in the bathtub. What's important about this is that every important conversation I've ever had with my mother happened while she was in the bathtub for some reason. Like, she would just be sitting in her Avon bubble bath thinking, like, I should ruin my daughter's day. And then yell, and then I would come in, and then she'd just, like, break whatever information. It's interesting, though, because, like, I can date that moment in time based on what her pubes were doing. You know, like, I can date, like, around the year based on what was trendy, but also, like, get a bit more information. Like, I remember one time she told me she was leaving her first husband, and I could already tell, based on the pubes, she was cheating on him. But, like, I'm, like, 16 years old, and my mom calls me in, and she's like, Megan, I know about you and Lena. And I was like... Because the thing is, like, I had just gone to Vancouver to purchase a bong with my friend Lena, and I was like, fuck. But I, like, played it cool. I was like, uh-huh, what do you know about me and Lena? And she's like, I know you're gay. And I was like, interesting. Because I didn't know yet. And she's, like, interrogating me, and she, like, said literally to me, verbatim, these are the words she said. She said, one day you're going to grow up and you're going to have a wife, and then all of us are going to play baseball together. That is actually what my mother said to me. And she wanted me to play baseball too. Like, I played baseball for like 7 years while she coached baseball, and she would just leave me in the outfield, and like no amount of Ritalin was gonna get me to pay attention, but I just kind of like stand there and look at nearby dogs until the day I heard my mom yelling at me. She was the coach, that's normal. Normal for her to just yell at me. And then I heard all of the other moms yelling at me, and I was like, that's weird. Turned around, right in the face of the baseball, just directly in the, okay, that's why I don't. Cool, so I hate sports. I hate them so much. Almost as much as I hate my mother. Close, but not quite. So my mom and I have like a really shaky relationship. Like I love my mom, or like I try to relate to my mom, and like I try to love her. It's not always easy. I would say I don't relate to people who have a good relationship with their mother, but like specifically the ones who are like, my mom is my hero. I don't get that at all. Like, saving a baby from a hot car is heroic, right? Not if it's your fucking baby, though. Not if it's the second time this summer. But I wasn't talking to my mom a few years ago, and I had to spend a Christmas with just my Nana. And my Nana, she just watches like Fox News all day, every single day, but is weirdly not racist. It makes no sense at all. Like, I don't understand why she's doing this. She watches that, and then she watches a cable channel that she has to pay extra for called the American Heroes Network. And it's just propaganda. Like, it's crazy. And I was like, I knew I had to spend Christmas Day with her, and I was like, I can't do this. So I'm like trying to find something that she'll want to watch with me. And my Nana loves baseball. So I was like, what if we watch A League of Our Own, the TV show? And if you're not reacting right now, it's because you don't know that that is the fucking gayest television show that has ever been made in my entire life. I live tweeted the entire thing. It was the greatest day of my life, watching it the whole way through. And at one point, my mom called us, and I didn't want to have to talk to my mom on the phone, so I was like up doing stuff, hoping I wouldn't get handed the phone. And my Nana said, Megs, we're watching a show together. It's got a lot of lesbians in it. A lot of lesbians. They're really good ball players, though. And I just know my mom was like, I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. Okay. All right. That's basically about my time. What do I want to say? Should probably leave you on something. I didn't really have a lot of time to explain my mom. So just like really briefly, one other thing about her, just so you like walk away having an idea. Give you a bit of a picture. A couple years ago, my mom texted me a photo of her in the lineup to Splash Mountain wearing Mickey Mouse ears with the caption, I finally got to go to Disneyland. My parents never took me. You know whose parents also never took them to Disneyland? Me and my three siblings, and we all have different dads, so a lot of combinations of disappointment there. And it made me realize my mom is healing her inner child by bathing in the blood of my inner child. All right, that's for me. Thanks so much. Bye.
Well, that is a timely joke to end on with Mother's Day on the horizon. Oh, what a show. Maybe even better than the Super Bowl? Big thanks to all the performers, host Paul Hickey, and the good folks at Bells and Whistles for welcoming our little arts organization into a big sports bar after the NFL event of the year.
Welcome to the Sad Fam Club, baby. You are enough.
There are no plans in the works for another sad comedy event yet, but we hope to do more in the future. Next up in the calendar, the launch party for our 36th issue, Texture. You can find out more details and buy tickets on sadmag.ca. With a DJ spinning tunes all night, I imagine there will be dancing. Lately, I've been busting a move to the tunes of local artist Yaris Paris. The man behind the music happens to be Sad's talented accountant, which I think makes it all the more impressive that this artist just came off a prolific 2023 in which he released two albums, Maximize Comfort and Club Yaris. Doom Scrolling is a song off of Maximize Comfort. Yaris released that album last August along with this statement on social media. Quote, "It feels important to bring new life into the world, today more than ever. I hope that wherever you are, the ideas contained within these sounds bring you peace." Here's the very relatable tune, Doom Scrolling.
Spinning in the twilight zone, endless circle on my own.
Sadcast is brought to you by Sad Magazine, a publication featuring stories, art, and design by local and emerging artists. Intro and interstitial music is brought to you by Comortal.